Just as others are coming in, we're going to sing a couple of verses of a hymn that we love here. Sometimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain and murmur and despair. It will be worth it all. Couple of verses in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool, flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along.
Thank you.
tonight is what gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. Again, without the music, with every breath I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home.
With joy before the throne. To this I
Let's all pray. Our Father, we've sung together a hymn that has a resounding victory in it. And we thank you, gracious God, for our dear Savior tonight and all that we have in and through him. And for that wonderful prospect that every child of God has, that we're going to stand before his throne one day. Lord, we'll stand there not because there's any good in us, not because we have accomplished anything that would bring us there, but we know it's all the merit of Christ and what he has done for us. We thank you for a Savior who loved us, a Savior who came into the world to die for us, a Savior that hung upon the cross of Calvary as our sacrifice for sin, who paid the price in full that we, the guilty sons of Adam, might be saved. And so many here tonight are redeemed by the precious blood. Thank thee for that moment when the great transaction was done and we became the Lord's. And the experience of the new birth was given to us. We were born again. We were washed in the Redeemer's blood. Our sins were pardoned. And we had a future in heaven for sure. And that future has not changed, and the certainty of it has not changed. Glory to God, tonight we're going by and by to the palace of a king. And we thank you for all that is laid up for us in the life to come. We think of what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church when he said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him." And Lord, we love thee tonight. We love thee because thou didst first love us. You set your love upon us from all eternity, and in time, in the due process, it came and it met us in our sin, and we were drawn by Calvary love to Christ. And Lord, we confessed our sins, and our sins were washed away. Lord, make us men and women who stand for the Lord, who love the Lord, who walk with God every day. Help our witness to be true and upright and clean in society. Help us by the life that we live to draw others to Christ because they see Jesus in us. Lord, as we come here tonight, we come to worship the Lord. We come to pray. We come to sing. We come to listen to your word. We thank you for the glorious gospel. And that gospel will be proclaimed in song, and it will be proclaimed in word. And Lord, you've promised to bless the word that goes forth. Indeed, you've given the guarantee that it will never return unto thee void. And so we're praying for the blessing of God upon the gospel preaching tonight. Search out every heart. Bring sinners to Christ here in this meeting and those that are listening in. I would bless thee that there is that extra audience here and there throughout Northern Ireland. Some of them live close by the church, some of them, Lord, further away. And then we think of the gospel going forth right across the world and in various countries where there are those that will be tuning in tonight and listening to this service. Lord, we praise thee that distance is no problem with God. And as they sit at their television or computer or tablet, whatever it is that brings them to see what's happening here and to listen to it, we cry in Jesus' name that the Spirit of God will deal with them just where they are, bring sinners to Christ. Very conscious that Jonathan has had his first day or is having his first day in Mount Merion. We thank thee for the call of God in his life and for his ordination to the Christian ministry on Friday and for this first day that he's had in Mount Merion congregation to which he has been called. And as he would testify tonight and tell the congregation what the Lord means to him and how he found Christ, we pray that you'll bless the witness that he gives. And as we've prayed already today, make his ministry great in the city. Think of the thousands, the hundreds of thousands of people that live in our capital city. We think of the vast majority of them, how they know not the Lord and are strangers to your grace. Lord, we pray for a mighty awakening in Belfast. And we pray in that Mount Merion area that God will be pleased to use his young servant as he seeks to do the work of an evangelist and to make full proof of his ministry. give him early seals and tokens to his ministry. Oh, we pray that you'll make it great for the glory of God. Encourage him in the Lord this very day. Meet with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together 248, Under the Burdens of Guilt and Care. Many a spirit is grieving, who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting receiving. And a great refrain, life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life. Glory to Jesus forever. I want to sing from our hearts tonight, praise unto God. We'll stand to sing after we get the opening line. Always take a moment at this part of the service to bid you welcome in the Savior's name. We're glad to see all that are here. This is the preacher that was in the martyr's pulpit on Friday night, and he's getting a wee bit of liberty tonight, so amen. We welcome those that are joining us on the internet. We're always encouraged to hear about people that are listening in, and if you go on to, I think it's Facebook, you're able to see people making a comment listening in from such and such a place. Sometimes we hear of folks that are quite local and they listen into Hebron. And then there's other times and it's a very distant place, some foreign land that they're listening in. On Monday night, I got a phone call from a dear lady who lives in Scotland. As I listened to her accent, I knew that it wasn't a Scottish accent. It was originally from here. But she's been living there for some time, she and her husband, and they are an elderly couple. And she just wanted to ring to thank us for the ministry here in this church. They listen in every week. They come from a Baptist background, but we're very glad to have them nonetheless. And she told me many, many years ago she was converted to Christ through the preaching of Dr. John Douglas. And I was able to tell him that on Friday night that I was talking to one of his converts, still going on with God at the age of 80. And her husband is 81. And so in thanking us for the ministry here, she says, I want to support one of those Ugandan children at the school. And I want to give a gift to another part of the missionary work. And she did that because we got a check through the post this week. And so it's good that people are listening and they feel very much part of the church here. And we trust that the Lord will bless those on Sermon Audio, Facebook, and YouTube. For them, they can't get tea. Well, they can get tea in their own home, but not here at the church. And if you can stay tonight, we always make little cup of tea so that folks can have the opportunity for fellowship, get to know one another, and have a chat with each other, and that is every Sunday night. Now, the announcements for the incoming week begin with the Hebron Tots tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. In the evening, it's the monthly prayer meeting for the Sunday school teachers, and that's at 8 o'clock. And then Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock, the youth challenge will take place for the children. And there's just a few more, because come Easter time, this finishes for the term. Easter is very early this year, as you know. The school's ministry will take us on Tuesday morning to the William Pinkerton Memorial School in Dervock. On Wednesday, Greg will be at the high school, and then we're back to the model on Thursday afternoon. If you know children at the model school, and they're free on a Thursday afternoon from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock, encourage them to go to the SU. We'll be there for two more weeks. Thursday evening is the midweek service at 8 o'clock, and we're seeking to home in on a particular aspect of church life each Thursday night, and this Thursday is the time for youth. And so we want to come and pray for the youth of the church. They need prayer. They know that, they feel that, I'm sure. We want our youth to come and join us, if at all possible, and to be part of that prayer meeting. Then on Friday night, our Sabbath school social will take place. The children have been practicing week by week, and they will have the opportunity to do their pieces on Friday evening, and that is at 7:30. Supper will be served afterwards, and if the ladies can bring 3/4 of a loaf of sandwiches and 1/2 dozen buns. 1.5 dozen buns. Saturday morning is the open air in the center of the town, not too far from the Danske Bank. And we're thankful for those who come and stand with us in this gospel witness. On the Lord's Day, the prayer meeting is 8 o'clock. Sunday school, 10:30. Bible class, 10:45. And Phyllis coming to part two and Peter. Worship service, 12 noon. The gospel meeting at 7. Refreshments will be served after the meeting. And then we mentioned to you this morning about a new film that has been made of Dr. Bill Woods. He is in an interview situation, and it is Etta Halliday that he is talking to. And this will be shown on the 4th of April at 8 o'clock at our midweek service. And Pastor Victor Maxwell will be here to introduce the film. It'd be worthwhile seeing. Bill Woods was a great missionary to the land of Brazil, and he was known so well here in this church. It lasts, as far as I know, for 40 minutes, so it'll be really good stuff, and I know it'll be challenging to us all. We mentioned that Let the Bible Speak are looking for volunteers to help with the shop at a Huckle. I needn't read all the things that are needed. You can read them for yourself there. But Saturday, the 16th of March at 11 a.m., there's a special demonstration morning in a huckle. And if you're interested, you can help with this. We'll then go along to that. And Jonathan, of course, has been very much involved in this. And if you need any additional information, he can give it to you. These are all the announcements to make. We're going to have the offering now for God's work. Maybe just to mention also, the Crumlin Road jail, the testimonies of the Martin brothers, and that's on the 11th of May, so you can plan towards it. So we sing together 345, Christ has for sin atonement made, what a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed, the price is paid, what a wonderful Savior. And the theme all the way through is really just about our wonderful Savior, who is Jesus, my Lord. Giving your seat. Turning to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John for our Bible reading tonight, John chapter 5. And we're going to begin our reading at verse 16 and reading down to verse 29. The Gospel of John chapter 5 and verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And we'll end the reading there. We want to take the words of the 24th verse as a text in this gospel service tonight, and we want to speak on the way to life everlasting and heaven. Now look at the text, it's verse 24, where Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Ask the ordinary man in the street about his hope and his expectation about the future. If he has any serious thought, any spiritual inclination, any sincere expectation, he will likely indicate that he would deeply desire for all to be well with him in the great eternity of God. If he believes any biblical truth at all, he will want to die in a state of grace, knowing that it is well with his precious, immortal soul, and that heaven is his final destination. Now, these are the Balaams of the world. We read about Balaam, who never truly knew the Lord, who was never truly converted as far as spiritual things are concerned. But he had this desire, when I die, I want to die right. I want to die ready. Let me die the death of the righteous, let my last end be like his. And as he contemplated the moment of departure from this world, Balaam says, this is the way that I want to die. I want to die knowing it's well with me. I want my end to be like the righteous man. In other words, I want to go to heaven. I want to enjoy eternal life. We knock on the doors, we speak to our neighbors, we hold conversations with many who as yet have never trusted in Christ as Savior, and many of them possess high hopes for the future and expectations too. Their hope may not have a solid foundation. Indeed, it may not have a foundation at all, because it is built upon the sand, the sinking sand. Good works, church going, being kind and charitable, helping the poor and the underprivileged, being a good neighbor, never doing anyone any harm, and maybe even false opinions about the goodness of God. Sure, God will not cast anyone out. Have you ever spoken to anyone like that? I'm sure that you have. But their destiny is a lost eternity. For if this is what they're trusting in, they will be lost. And then we have others who are genuinely seeking for heaven. They have aspirations and longings in their heart to be truly right with God. They want to be ready for heaven. They want to know beyond all doubt that it is well. It is well with their soul. And these people, well, they make genuine inquiries. They're like the jailer that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles. He wanted to know the way. What must I do to be saved? He asked Paul and Silas, having been troubled in his heart and awakened to his spiritual need, how can I be saved? That's what he was asking. They're like the rich young ruler. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? That young man wanted eternal life. He wanted to go to heaven. Both of these men, I believe, were serious in their inquiries about the future. But you'll notice, and this is so important, one received and one rejected. One came to know the Lord and did receive salvation, and the other walked away from the presence of the Savior that day. I say this to remind you that men can have serious desires and inquiries about salvation and eternal lives, and yet eternal life, and yet they can go in two different directions. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I want eternal life. But some men stop short. Some go on to receive Christ, and they're born again, and they're saved. And others, well, they don't quite make it. They never do come to the Savior. And we see this happening all the time. Do we have any hearing this message? And you fit into the positions that I've just mentioned. I've described you tonight. Maybe you're here in the building. Maybe you're listening in on the internet tonight. You have genuine aspirations and desires to be saved and go to heaven. And maybe you're like the first group that I described. You're trusting in something that will never take you there. You're trusting in the wrong thing, the good works, the church attendance, being good, being kind, and so forth. Or maybe you're still asking and you're still longing to know the answer. How can I have eternal life? How can I be saved? How can I go to heaven? Well, my friends, look no further than our text tonight. I could point you to hundreds of texts in the Bible that show so clearly the way of salvation. But tonight I'm going to concentrate on this one, these words that fell from the lips of the dear Son of God 2,000 years ago. And the answer is still the same. The centuries have passed, but there's no different answer to the inquiry about heaven. It hasn't changed. And so here in John 5 and 24, and get this text into your heart, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, no doubt about it, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is in the temple at Jerusalem. He has just performed a mighty miracle at the pool of Bethesda, the healing of the lame man who had suffered with his infirmity for 38 long years. Many a time he had gone to that pool hoping this might be the day, this might be the time when God will trouble the waters and I'll get down into those waters and I will be healed of my malady, my disease. But to no avail. The days pass, the weeks, the months, the years pass, and this man is still in the same condition. Nothing happened until Jesus came. And that makes the difference. When Jesus comes, I pray that he'll come to this meeting tonight. The Lord speaks the word of power and healing, and the lame man rises to his feet. He lifted his bed and he walked. A truly amazing sight, especially for all that knew him. The older people who knew him for 38 years as the lame man that lay so often at the pool of Bethesda. This miracle was performed on the Sabbath day, and the old fault-finding critics were not too far away to complain and to murmur. Indeed, they sought to kill Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath day. They not only misunderstood the law regarding the Sabbath, but they were filled with unsympathetic, uncaring attitudes. I wonder, had they ever done anything for this man? Jesus steps in and he heals him, and they're complaining. I wonder that in the 38 years that they knew him, did they ever do anything to help him off his problem or with his problem? I suspect not. I don't think they did. The Lord spoke about the work of his Father and also about his own work on earth. And this gave rise to even more controversy and criticism and hatred. For they sought to kill him all the more. For he had dared to call God his Father. And as the scripture says, making himself equal with God. Well, at least they understood that that proclaimed his deity, that in the way in which Jesus spoke about his Father and he being the Son of the Father, that that was in the mind of the Jew, and they were spot on here, they were dead right about this, that he was making himself equal with God. Jesus took the opportunity to proclaim the relationship that he enjoyed with his Father, the love that was between them, and how he and his Father would one day raise the dead to life again at the resurrection. And the whole episode here rises to a climax with Christ's declaration of the resurrection and the judgment. And that's where we finished our reading in verses 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And it's right here in the middle of all this that Jesus proclaims the way to life and to heaven, the only way, which is summarized in the words of our text, verse 24. What a gracious offer of life and salvation, even to those that were standing there that day with their criticisms and their hatred and rejection and desire to kill him. And you know, my friends, the Lord makes the same offer to you as well. What you read here, what Jesus said to the people there at the temple that day 2,000 years ago, he's still saying all these centuries later to men and women who are in their sin. And maybe some of you are seeking salvation, maybe some of you are not, but he's saying this to you. If you hear him and you believe, you will have everlasting life. And I want to look at this subject tonight, the way to life everlasting and heaven. First of all, notice the little phrase that Jesus uses here. He that heareth my word. And in this we have the indispensability of hearing the word. No man can be saved and brought to eternal life apart from the word of God. Just simply can't be done. You must hear God's word. And Jesus Christ was ultimately a preacher. He came to expound the great truths of the gospel, to enlighten men and to save them from sin. In order to be saved, you must hear God's word. The scripture is clear. regarding the means of light and understanding, how that you can be enlightened. Faith cometh by hearing. And that was the whole debate of the great apostle when he wrote to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 10. And let me read to you verse 13 to verse 17. It begins with the words, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Another great declaration of how you can go to heaven, how you can become a possessor of everlasting life, how you can be saved. Whosoever shall call. But the question is asked in verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?" Coming right down to this fact that you must hear. The gospel must be proclaimed. The word of God must be presented to you. "How shall they preach," verse 15, "except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It's as simple as that. How can faith originate in your heart? How can you come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? By hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. There can never be salvation and heaven without hearing such. It is God's truth that illuminates the minds and hearts of men, that shows us clearly how a man can be saved, how a person can become a possessor of eternal life. There is no hope for the heathen in lands of spiritual darkness unless they hear the word of God. That's why we send missionaries. That's why men and women are raised up to go to the nations of the world. That's why the Lord Jesus commanded in the Great Commission, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Great and solemn is our responsibility in the Great Commission. How shall they hear without a preacher? I hope and pray tonight that such a question will haunt many a young Christian in this meeting tonight. We have young people sitting here and there. What are you doing with your life? Are you being a witness for the Lord? Are you testifying to the grace of God? Are you spreading the word? Has God ever spoken to you about this matter of getting the gospel out to the nations of the world? Being a missionary, bringing the message of Christ. We thank God that the Lord has promised in Matthew 24, 14, that this gospel will be preached in all the world for a witness unto the nations, right till the end of time, until the day in which Jesus will come, this gospel will be preached. And we say, praise God for that. God is still in the business of sending forth preachers and missionaries. We've been rejoicing in the fact that another young man from our church has been ordained to the Christian ministry, Jonathan, and enjoying, I trust, his first day in Mount Murray, and other missionaries are being raised up, and other missionaries are being sent forth in these days. We're glad that he's touched lives in this church over the past number of years. The Free Presbyterian Church is still a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, missionary-sending church. May that never fail. May our vision indeed increase. Sinners need to hear the gospel. Jesus says, "He that heareth my word." So there's no hope for the heathen in lands of spiritual darkness. We need Jonas to go to the Ninevehs of this world. We need Phillips to go down to the city of Samaria, wherever that Samaria might be for you, We need Peters who hear the Macedonian call, come over and help us. We need Paul's and Silas's and Barnabas's and John Mark's to obey the Spirit in the Great Commission so that the heathen might hear God's word. But let's bring it a little bit nearer home. There is no hope for the sinner in our towns and our cities who live in spiritual darkness. What about our own town? Right here in Ballymoney, the housing estates, the vast number of people, families that live in and around, even the church here. We have the large housing estate of the Glebe behind us. We think of Kernani. We think of up around Stuart Park. Many areas in the town. We think of the families that live in this place where we live, and still as yet they're not saved and they're not hearing the word of God. There are thousands and thousands of people who never go to church on the Sabbath day. They have learned the way of the heathen. They never read a gospel tract. They never stop at an open air to listen to the word preached. They never send even their children to Sunday school or to children's meetings. There's always the hope that a child might go there and at least bring the gospel back to that family. Oh, my friends, men die in darkness on our doorstep for lack of hearing the word of God. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And we sometimes think about that as far as our vision is concerned. That's not actually what the text means, but it certainly is applicable. If we don't have a vision, we don't have a burden, people will die in their sin, they will perish, they will go to hell. But the vision there is to do with the word of God. Where there is no gospel being preached, where the word of God is not going forth, the people perish. My dear neighbors will never be converted if they don't hear God's word. May God help us to see our solemn and our urgent responsibility, not only to go to the heathen in Africa or India or China or other places like Pakistan or some very remote area, but to the hundreds of people that live in darkness and in sin, who live as if there's no God, no Christ, no cross, no sin, no death, no judgment, no hell, no heaven, no eternity, and they're living right here in our town and district. Our duty is absolutely enormous. If we could only see it, and I could just maybe address God's people for a moment, what are you doing to reach them on a daily basis? What are you doing to fill these pews with sinners that they might hear on a Sunday night the gospel? Because if they don't hear, they're going to die in their sin and they're going to be lost forever. I'm praying that God will open my eyes more and more to see. Help me to get the word of God out as much as possible. Help this church to get the word of God, every member of this church to do this. May this pulpit never stop preaching the glorious gospel of Christ. May every preacher and minister who stand here in this pulpit always be an evangelist. I came to Ballymoney just over 27 years ago with this burden in my heart, assured in my soul that God had said to me, as I said to Jonathan on Friday night in the Martyrs as he was ordained to the ministry, do the work of an evangelist. I came with that burden burning in my soul. That's the word that the Lord had given to me. May the eternal woe ever be branded upon the lips and hearts of those who stand behind their pulpit. And I say to this congregation tonight, you beware of your future. Be very aware. Churches depart and they depart quickly. There are churches tonight in this area and they don't preach the gospel. Some of them don't even have a Sunday night meeting to preach the gospel. And where there is a Sunday night meeting, the gospel is not preached. And there's others and it's a watered down version of the gospel. And the great emphasis today is on entertainment and on music and all those things. So you be very careful about the future. I'll not always be here, and the present elders of the church will not always be here, but you have a future to guard and to keep. May our open airs, by the grace of God, continue. As long as we can do that and have the freedom to do it, may the entrance that we have these days into the schools be kept open. Maybe one day that'll be closed, but as they're there, may we enter in through those doors. May our personal and private witness never cease. May our vision for door-to-door work be rekindled. May my concern for family members and friends never diminish, because without the hearing of the word, they can never be saved. And so Jesus says, he that heareth my word. Are you a dear sinner, a precious soul, that sits in these meetings where the gospel is proclaimed? Well, then there's hope for you. There is. Because you're hearing the word. Do you listen on the internet? You hear about a Savior from all sin, then there's hope for you also, because you are hearing, and that is the first step to believing. My heart is warmed and encouraged when I hear of dear unconverted souls tuning in on the Lord's Day. We talked about that earlier. Sometimes we hear about people locally. Sometimes it's across the RAC, England, Scotland, Wales. Sometimes it's to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when you look at the statistics and sermon audio, you can actually see where in the world they are listening in from. And you see that sometimes with people who are on Facebook, they're listening in from, and they'll give the location of where they are. I'm encouraged to hear that constantly there are unconverted people listening into these services on the Lord's Day. Praise God, there's hope for them. It's not just listening in for the good singing or the good music or even for the announcements. As a young man told me from one of our churches, I listen into your church for the announcements. I'm sure you might not just maybe say that's why you come to church, for the announcements. You might even say the announcements are a wee bit long. But there are actually people, they want to know what's happening, and we try to be informative, we try to let people know what's going on. But they listen in for the sound, sincere, solemn preaching of Christ. And these people are searching. They're searching. And that's good. So there is the indispensability of hearing the word. Notice, secondly, the necessity of exercising faith. For Jesus says, and believeth on him that sent me. Not only must you hear, you must act upon what you hear and believe. You think of the text that we mentioned in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith, believing, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You see how inextricably linked hearing and faith are. Salvation is received by faith alone. Believing in Christ and believing in him who sent Christ into the world is one and the same thing. John 3 and 16 states that belief in Jesus, in the sense of trusting in, relying on, and clinging to, is the pathway to everlasting life. And here Jesus said that hearing his word and believing in the Father, him that sent me, is the road to everlasting life. Because the Father and the Son are so united in their work, each is true to the other. True belief in the Father is belief in the Son. And true belief in the Son is belief in the Father. You must believe. That's the message. In order to be saved, you must receive the doctrines of the gospel that center upon Christ if you are to go to heaven. And that entails an understanding of your sinnership, that you're a sinner before God, That entails realizing your condemnation. You're under the condemnation of a holy God. That entails knowing that eternal fire, the fires of hell, awaits you if you die in your sin. But it also entails seeing that there is only one remedy. That's Christ. Christ, who was sent by the Father into this world to be the Savior. And of course, we're led to the cross, especially here where he died for our sins. The heart of the gospel is summed up in John 3:16. It's a memory text. It's one of the reasons that I'm getting the Roma children over in Romania to learn that text of Scripture, because it's fundamental and foundational to what we believe concerning Christ and how we can be saved. You see it advertised, displayed on billboards through the country. You see it at sports matches, Gaelic matches, football matches, rugby matches. I think nearly everybody in Northern Ireland has heard about John 3:16. They may not all be able to quote it, but they know the reference. John 3:16. Oh, that you would know the truth it contains. And not just a head knowledge of it, or to have it on your tongue, but to have it in your heart. Maybe I'm talking to some unconverted person here, and you can quote, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But it's only here. And the great truths of the word has not reached your heart, and you have not come to exercise faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. May the Spirit of God apply the essential truths of that text to your heart now. You must believe. And if you do, praise God, you'll be saved. And that brings me on to my final little point, and it is simply this: the certainty of obtaining salvation. Because Jesus goes on to say, "Hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Here is something that is absolutely certain. You will most definitely, on the authority of God's word, on the authority of Christ himself, receive everlasting life, and the condemnation will be removed. Tonight, without Christ, you are condemned. Condemned already, the Bible says. You're under a judicial sentence. You're facing the second death, which is the lake of fire. But this condemnation can be removed forever. How? When you hear God's word and believe. When you come to Christ, you receive a pardon from him. One of our commentators commenting on this verse, this phrase, "is passed from death unto life," said this: "has changed his country or place of abode. Death is the country where every Christless soul lives. The man who knows not God lives a dying life or a living death. But he who believes in the Son of God passes over from the empire of death to the empire of life." Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life. Glory to Jesus forever. Do you want everlasting life? Do you desire the condemnation to be removed? Would you pass from death unto life? Well, then believe. Turn to Christ in faith. Venture all upon him and his great sacrifice at the cross. You don't need to die eternally. You don't need to be condemned to the pit of hell forever. You don't need to be cast out into wider darkness. You don't need to sink in the caverns of the damned forever. Oh, my friends, hear God's word. Believe on Christ and be saved. That's the message tonight. You can become a possessor of eternal life and you can go to heaven as you listen to God's word and you believe what you hear and you trust in him. May God give you the grace to do that and to do it now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, defeat the devil. We have often seen him as that bird of prey sweeping down to take away the seed of the word when it's sown into the hearts of men. We know that he visits every gospel service. He visits everywhere where a witness is made, very simply to take away the word of God. Lord, we pray that you will thwart him in his intention tonight. We pray that he will be a defeated foe in this meeting for sinners that are listening and they've heard the word tonight and they've heard how they can be saved. Lord, we pray that you'll not take that truth away or allow it to be taken away by the evil one. Lord, preserve it, protect it. And Lord, we pray that sinners will act upon it and that they will exercise faith in Christ. Perhaps some of them are sitting at home. They've listened in tonight on the internet and they're not saved. Lord, show them that they can be saved from all sin as they hear your word and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and on him who sent him. Praise God, the condemnation will be removed and they shall not come into that condemnation, but they will pass from death to life. Oh Lord, give grace now to accept Christ for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now the Lord's been speaking and the Lord is calling. And we sing in closing 252, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See in the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That the Lord's waiting and the Lord's watching for you tonight, that you might come to him. Oh, come home. Oh, sinner, come home. Amen. Let's just stand to our feet as we sing the closing hymn. Thank you. We're here to help all we can. If you are without Christ, you can come to him tonight. You can believe in him and be saved. You can start for heaven. We can help you come and see us tonight. If you're listening in on the internet and you're concerned, you don't need a preacher, you need Christ. But if the preacher can help, contact me. Come to know him. Dear gracious God, bless your word. Pray that Christ will be exalted through it, sinners drawn, even backsliders restored, and a work of real grace done in every heart. Dismiss us now from the house of God with your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen.